Hello, passengers, and all aboard the game train. I'm Carl, and this is Callan.
Hello.
There he is. We're here to talk about games and things we like, answer all your questions. We've got a few games we've been playing. We've got an interesting feature game to talk about this week, and our final edition of Games of Our Lives. All the other favorites, Hype Train, Lame Train, and so on. But let's get started with the news. I'm keeping that in. I'm for sure keeping that in. Okay. And here's our actual news jingle. The SNES Classic, or SNES, or Super Nintendo Entertainment System, or Super Nintendo, or anything else you want to bloody call the thing, has just been announced, released on September 29th for $120 Australian. It'll include 21 games.
Modern Warfare Standalone is out now to buy on the PS4 and is coming soon to Xbox and the PC for $70. Nice one, Activision.
They just keep keep on bringing the goods, those guys.
For a re-release of an old, 10 years old now?
Yeah, but it's pretty now. EA have released statements hoping and believing that their new BioWare game Anthem will hopefully last 10 years, apparently mimicking the success of Destiny.
But Destiny only lasted 3 years.
Mimicking the hope of Destiny.
Gyms have been reworked in Pokemon Go for whoever still plays that game. I know Carl was a fan about a year ago.
Well, it made me leave the house. I rode my bike. And I don't know if I've ridden it since.
There was a spot near my house where people would congregate until about 4 o'clock in the morning. Just people everywhere. It was ridiculous.
That game brought the world together for like 2 months. So
yep.
It did more than many politicians could. I'll give it that. Xbox One X, we didn't talk about it last time. Well, we did, but it was only speculation. Will be $650 here in Australia.
The Diablo 3 Necromancer pack is out now on PC and console.
Atari have announced that they are getting back into the hardware business. I can't even say it with a straight face. With their new honest-to-God console, for reals, called Atari Box. Is it a hoax?
I don't get it. I don't get it. It's still shaking my head.
Is it going to be battling the PS4 and the Xbox One, or is it more of a Switch sort of playing field?
I just see them just getting destroyed by the competition, just making no ground.
Or is it like the Ouya before it?
Yeah, what happened to the Ouya or whatever it is?
I think they just put a sticker on it that says Atari Box.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a strange one for like someone this late to sort of come like in the middle of a generation of console as well and go, hey, we're going to do one too. And everyone's like, what?
Exactly. And you know what? We just might beat 60 million PS4 owners. Let's see what happens.
That's right. Like, why don't they just pair up with Microsoft and go, hey, we'll make a new Pitfall game, which will be pretty much your version of Uncharted, guys. You know?
So true. I'd play the shit out of that.
And Rugby League Live 4 has a release date of July 28th, coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Woohoo! Sorry, I'll cut that out. All right, that's the news. That wraps that up for this time on Game Train. Now we're going to move on to some of the games we've been playing.
Yes, well, I started up a challenge.
Yes, Callan and his famous challenge.
As I publicly announced on the Facebook page the other week, you can find us at... What's the Facebook page?
Oh, I don't have it open. Facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
On the Facebook page at Facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Nice.
I announced that I was going to do the Bloodborne Challenge, or a version of the Bloodborne Challenge, because there's a few different ones. So, for people that don't know, Bloodborne is an extremely difficult game. You die a lot, like, a lot in this game.
Yes.
It's a constant theme throughout the game. And people come up with challenges like, you know, every time you die, do push-ups. So I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to give that a go. So people that normally challenge themselves with this are people that have finished the game multiple times. This is my first playthrough of Bloodborne. I'm like, I'll go do the challenge.
Yeah, well done on that.
Thank you. So my challenge was, every time I die, I get a choice of either doing 10 push-ups, 10 squats, 1 minute plank, 10 lunges, or 10 sit-ups. So yeah, I've got those sort of to choose from.
Dang.
The game doesn't have an in-game death counter, so I've just been logging it all in a book. And so far, I have killed 2 bosses in the game, which I'm not sure how many there are, but in Dark Souls 3, I think there was about 15 or so bosses. So I've got a ways to go. But yeah, after 2 bosses down, I'm at 61 deaths, 540 squats.
Wow.
I have done 1 1-minute plank.
I don't use a plank much.
I have done 10 lunges and 50 push-ups. I have done no sit-ups. It's almost like the Bloodborne squat challenge now. But this game is so hard. Like, it's so unforgiving. Like, deaths that have happened to me, right?
Okay.
Very first one. The first bad guy you meet in the game, right?
Yeah.
Kills you. You actually can't beat it. So before I'd even really started playing, I was already down at doing 10 squats. Like, bang.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy. That wolf thing.
Come on. I didn't even get a chance to get out the door. I'm already freaking 10 squats in.
But think about that ass when you finish playing.
Anyway,
I don't want to do that. I don't know why I just put that in my head.
It's just the getting around the map was just destroying me. So I think you should do it too, Kyle. It'll be fun.
No, never in your wildest dreams am okay, I doing right. any kind of physical.
Okay, how about we do one where I play the game and every time I die, you do the exercises.
Nearly. I was more thinking every time you die, I have a cheesel. You know? Or like Doritos, you pick it.
Hamburger. One hamburger every time. We'll see how far you can go of hamburgers.
If you shout the hamburgers, I'm prepared to give it a good red hot go. 61 hamburgers in, what, 3 days? Yeah. See what happens.
But yeah, so this challenge is going to be ongoing probably for the next probably 2 or 3 months. So I'll keep updating every time we do this and the occasional update on the Facebook page.
Oh, and please go look at the Facebook page picture. I'm very proud of that one. You'll also see my opinion on it.
Yeah, very good. So what else have you been playing?
Nice. Well, I've been getting into Dirt 4. It's actually excellent. Wonderful, wonderful game. The thing that kind of sets it apart from the other Dirt games is there's like these procedurally generated tracks. So you can kind of have an infinite amount of tracks. When you're playing online against people, you can make it so that no one has ever played that track before, so no one knows all the turns better than you, which is awesome for a rally game because the whole challenge and the whole thing is about you versus the track, the weather and things like that, and it's all about how you control your car, and it's its own challenge and you're kind of racing yourself. I love it. So it's just adding this thing where you're taking out that thing where you can remember the tracks and kind of make it a little bit easier for yourself. Besides that, the game is pretty as ever. It's hard to kind of say anything about it that hasn't been said before about Dirt Rally. It's really going back to its roots of like the PS1 Colin McRae games. The sound is awesome. I haven't heard sound like that in a racing game in a long time. Like the engines and the gravel and everything just sounds really, really cool. Physics feel awesome. Yeah, that's Dirt 4.
That's cool. I started playing World of Final Fantasy.
Oh, yes. I've been keen to give that one a shot.
Yeah, a work friend of mine has been harping on about it for a while, so I went, right, I'm going to go give it a go. It's kind of like setting as its own little world, but it's got all these Final Fantasy characters in it.
Okay.
Like, because you know in each Final Fantasy, they've all been in their own separate little world. They're all sort of in this one sort of world, but they're all like little chibis. Like, you know, the little...
Yeah, okay, the cute little versions.
Little cute versions with, like, big heads and things like that. Yeah, but it's pretty cool, actually. It's full voice acting. Like, every person in that game has voice acting, even, like, the random townspeople. Oh. Whereas, you know, in some games, it's just text for the
random townspeople. Yeah, of course, especially
RPGs. So, look, I'm only 2 hours in so far, so I'm not far. But so far, I'm quite enjoying it. Yeah, it came out on... the 25th of October last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll even edit out those keyboard sounds.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of games that you've recommended to me, I tried Ori and the Blind Forest recently.
Oh, I love that game.
And holy shit, that's a good game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, so, I was about to just shut down a microphone and just walk away. If you had said it was terrible if you didn't like Ori.
Oh, man, it's so beautiful. It's everything I like in a game. It's like Metroidvania. It's smooth controlling, beautiful soundtrack, gorgeous visuals.
The soundtrack is awesome. It's got one of the best soundtracks I've heard in a long time in that game.
It's like heart-wrenching, and that intro.
The intro, yeah.
Ooh-wee. I don't know, I haven't felt that kind of emotion while playing and being like participating in the intro since The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. Now, that probably had one of the most jaw-dropping intros I've ever seen in The Last of Us.
Yeah, right? We didn't even talk about that when you finally played that, so don't even talk to me about how long it took me to try Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's like Carl and the Blind Gamer. Like, you've just missed it.
Yeah, wow. Nice.
Yeah,
nice, thanks. Well done.
And there's a sequel coming as well, so...
I know, right?
More Ori, like... Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'm so stoked. But yeah, I can't wait to get more into that and unlock sort of more abilities and just see more of the magic. It's really awesome. I really loved it. Bam. And that's my games. What else have you been playing?
Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 collection.
Yes.
Yeah, and I finally kicked off Kingdom Hearts 1 again. Now, I finished that game when I was a teenager, like 15 years ago. And it was a bit strange going back at first, like, well, how's it going to stand up? It actually holds up really well. They've cleaned up all the graphics in the remaster.
Yeah.
And they've made it 60 frames a second.
Oh.
So it is super slick and smooth. Like, the combat is just, like, awesome.
Gorgeous. That would so suit that kind of game's visuals, too.
Yeah, it's really just stood up so well. I finished it the other night.
Yep.
And I was really, really happy with it.
Nice.
The only thing is that we're talking before about World of Final Fantasy, how everything is voice.
Yeah.
In this, there is a lot of text.
Ah, okay.
Which was the only little bit of a letdown, I guess. I'm hoping Kingdom Hearts 3, when that releases, that it's all voice in that.
I hope so, too. I mean, come on, they gotta do something that makes it stand out from the others.
Because, yeah, it's been like, oh, gosh, that was like 2006 that Kingdom Hearts 2 came out. So, 11 years since I played that.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
You're going to be all fresh for the third one?
Oh, yep. Yep.
In 2020? All right, our feature game of this episode... ARMS this time, which was developed and published by Nintendo, which is a bit of a surprise. But anyway, yeah, it was a bit of a tricky one to review. Like, the tricky thing with our system is that we like to pick a feature game for our upcoming episode so that we review it whether we liked it or not. And that means even once we start getting wind of something or figuring out that maybe we won't really enjoy it, we've got to get this game and give it a try anyway, just to give it our peace of mind. And it felt like one of those episodes for us this time because, I don't know, I went in getting it going, I don't know if this is something that would interest me normally, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know? And then I tried it and I was hoping, because it was all Nintendo, maybe I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, but it was just slap bang exactly what I expected. Like, oh, I guess we should explain for those who don't know, this is it's like a fighting game, but in 3D. Third person angle, and it's more about boxing, but your characters have like long springy arms, and you're supposed to mostly use the motion control in the Switch, kind of like the old boxing game on the Wii Sports mixed with Super Punch Out with a bit of a twist, I guess. So essentially a fighting game.
Yeah, that's probably a good way. Yeah, it's just a one-on-one or two-on-two fighting game. Where the gimmick of this one is that, yeah, every character's got long arms, thus the name ARMS, that you use to hit the opposing player with. Now, I played the beta for this probably about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Which was where you get to pick between two characters and get to do just some online fights.
Yeah.
I played that then. I played it for about 15 minutes and was like, oh, is that it? Okay. And then... you know, we worked out we're going to do this for a feature game. I'm like, oh, I hope there's a little more to it. And there wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh. There's more fighters, more arenas, and there is a single player campaign, if you will, which is 10 fights. And there's some mini games like basketball and volleyball, which are a little fun.
Basketball is kind of fun.
But I just felt like there's just not much depth to the game. Like, you play through to 10 fights, and then you can go online and fight, and that's about it. Like, there's no nice story mode. Like, you know, we played through We played through Injustice 2 a couple of months ago.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Which had a super slick story. I went through and played through Mortal Kombat X after playing Injustice 2 because I just liked what they did with that, and played through Mortal Kombat X. Again, super slick story.
Yeah, that was like one of the best done stories in fighting games in the longest time.
I went through Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, which also had a solid story. And there was a lot to that game that you could do.
Yeah.
Then I played ARMS, and it just wasn't a lot to do. Like, every character feels so similar.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, slight differences, and I don't know, like, you know, a big engrossing story, fair enough. It's not what everyone's looking for in a fighting game, but just something to do.
It's even a town to walk around and a shopkeeper to go visit. No, it's just everything's just done from menus, and you go straight into the game. You do your fight. It almost feels like this game should have just been like a $20 download off the Nintendo store rather than a full priced game released in shops.
Yeah, like, to me, it felt like this would have been a really fun VR game, I think. Because, mm-hmm. I don't know, from that angle and the kind of long, punchy sort of behind the shoulder gimmick would have worked really well, I think, with that 3D effect, and getting hit would feel more sort of interactive. I don't know. And then, but like other VR games, which work really well for that system, you play them for about 40 minutes and then that's enough for that session or the day or whatever. And that's how I feel about, like, even all my favorite VR games. I put that thing on, play for 40 minutes. I'm like, that's enough for me. Yep. Whereas something on console, especially at the, like, brand spanking new Switch game, I kind of want to spend a couple of hours on and just get right into it, which I can do with even other fighting games. Like, I'm not against the idea of fighting games. I'm sure you all know most of them is like you go in the menu, you choose a fighter, you fight someone, and that's essentially it. But the fighting systems are just so much deeper and quicker and interesting. And, like, you know, like, there's something just kind of draining about every fight here. Whether I win or lose, I kind of feel the same at the end. Like, okay, next.
Yeah. Like, I think the most impressive thing about this game was the visuals. They were really nice, bright, colourful. It ran really smooth and slick.
Yeah. Character designs are fun.
Yeah, the character designs are really cool. It's just a shame that I just don't feel it's that great of a game for what the asking price was and for what there is to do in the game.
Yeah, like, another thing I thought, it's just a bit too complicated. Like, the controls, they're not crazy hard, but they're not something that if someone's visiting or you have a friend over or something and you want to say, like, hey, this is a game that I can't really play on my own, but now that you're over and we're having a party or we're hanging out, maybe just play this two-player game with me. And you can't just give them the controller and have them just kind of know how to do it, like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Mario Kart. So they have to sit there and go through things. You have to explain, no, that's jump. No, actually, if you combine that and... They have, you know, hypothetically, you'd have to sit and watch every friend you want to have a turn with play through the whole tutorial before they even just get it to kind of have a bit of fun fighting. And then you're over it anyway, and you're like, well, let's move on.
Yeah, I was struggling to come up with things to say about it, really, because there's not much really to it. I give it 5 out of 10 carriages.
Yeah, I nearly did. I'm going to give it 6 carriages out of 10, and that's only because it's just so far, I can see that there's good. It's not a bad game.
It's not a bad game. There's just
it all works.
Yeah,
and the punching gimmick, it works. Like, it shouldn't, but it does, and it's fun sometimes when you hit someone. And I can see younger audiences maybe really having a good time with this, but yeah, just not quite there for me. But yeah, that's it. All right, let's move on. And sadly, I'm sad to say that this is our final edition of games of our lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the
games of our lives.
So yeah, last episode of Game of That... Start that again. Okay. Hey. Games of... Yes, awesome. Well done. Yeah, last episode of Games of Our Lives, where we've just been going through our favorite game from each year that we've been alive. So we kicked off in 1984.
Yep.
And then Carl started his in 1985.
Correct, because I'm a spring chicken.
And yeah, so we've done about five or six years each episode. We're up to the final stretch, which we're going from 2011 to present day.
All right. So 2011, what did you get?
What else was there? Skyrim.
There was only Skyrim.
Only Skyrim, yep.
If you said something else, it would have been time to find someone else to do this podcast with.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much unanimous across the gaming world. And they're still releasing re-releases of Skyrim this day and age. Like, that game holds up.
Skyrim was so good that it was at E3 this year twice. Two times.
That's so true. VR and the Switch version. Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
wow.
Two different presentations. That's how good it was.
Yeah, in 5 years' time, I reckon we could see Skyrim on mobile phones.
Yep, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm pretty sure Skyrim was at E3 last year as well.
What? What did they have it on that last year?
Maybe. Or year before when they announced the remake.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So. Oh, man. Yes, yeah. The gift that keeps on giving. All right, 2012. I had Diablo 3.
Ah, nice. I had Borderlands 2.
Ah, yeah.
Nice. All right, 2013.
Go, your turn.
I got Bioshock Infinite, and this is one of those games that I have character tattooed on my arm for. This was just, I was so in love with it. I like the other Bioshock games, but this one's story and characters, and I fell in love with Elizabeth. And the whole time switching and the ending, it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous game. Awesome setting.
I never played it.
Oh, we're done here. And that's the end. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, play Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, I was overseas that year, so...
All right, so what were you doing in 2013 instead of playing Bioshock Infinite?
Drunk in Europe somewhere.
The game, though.
Oh. Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's all right, I suppose.
Yeah.
I guess the highest selling piece of entertainment in history is possible.
It still makes the top 10 of PlayStation sales every week. But I think that's to do with the microtransactions going through the online store.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than people constantly buying new copies of the game.
Which is also the reason we didn't get any bloody DLC for single player.
Yeah, which I'm still a bit sad about. But yeah, also another notable game in 2013 was The Last of Us.
Oh, shit. What a year.
Yeah. All right. 2014.
Ah, I got Mario Kart 8.
I've got South Park and the Stick of Truth.
Ah, yep. Both fun games with crazy colorful characters. Yours are just a bit ruder.
In 2014, I was overseas again for a lot of it, but I was back in Australia for a bit and... Yeah, I played South Park. I'm like, you know what? It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But
man, I can't wait for the sequel this year.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. That is going to be awesome. All right. 2015. same League. Again? Oh, no.
I'm not even joking.
Rocket League.
I know you think I'm having a joke right now because I know the other game you're going to say. I don't.
Of course you do. Because it's the one, The Witcher 3.
But Rocket League was easily game of the year.
I'll edit that out. All right. Fair enough. 2016.
Overwatch.
Nice. Yeah. That was on the top of many game of the year lists, I believe, last year. Mine was Inside by Playdead, the spiritual successor to Limbo. That just blew my mind and was so fun to play. And the ending I still talk about amongst my friends now. And I say that like it was a long time ago. It was only last year, but I'm feeling nostalgic because this is the last games of our lives.
Oh, man.
That's it.
Oh, that's it. It's done. So I guess whatever we select as our game of the year this year will be our game of our life this year?
I suppose. But I mean, now they just get called game of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so sad.
Wow. Well, thank you for following us down Nostalgia Lane, everyone.
Yes.
But we have a new segment coming on our next episode.
Yes, that will replace this nostalgic itch.
We'll be doing This Week in Gaming, looking at the same week, but back maybe 10, 15 years ago, and picking out key moments in gaming history and or key games that came out and having a little talk about them.
Yeah, so it'll just be like one or two, but we'll get a lot more into it, a bit more details.
Yeah, we'll have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, alrighty. Well, that takes us to our next segment, our passenger questions.
Yes, yes. Every so often, people send in this, questions to us, which we like to answer on the show.
Yeah, which you can send in yourself as well to our Facebook, message it to us, or leave a comment somewhere, which is just, like Helen said earlier, facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Or you can find us on Twitter, which is at Game Train Talk.
Yes, which is news to me. Just kidding. No, I totally know that. just like Reef has done this this episode, and he's asked, thoughts on the Final Fantasy VII remake being taken back to be finished in-house by Squaresoft, taken back from CyberConnect 2. Do you think this will now delay the game even longer?
Short answer, yes.
Long answer, yes.
I'd just like to follow up with that really quickly. Yeah, it's going to be more of a delay, which is a real, real shame. I think Square's missed a massive marketing opportunity with the remake this year. Final Fantasy VII originally came out in 1997. It's a 20-year anniversary, and they're going to miss the remake. It's this year, you know?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Sad, because it would have just been a great marketing go, hey, here's a 20th anniversary remake of Final Fantasy VII, you know? While we might not get it for another 3 years or whatever it's going to be.
I mean, if they release it next year, they could make, you know, say that Final Fantasy VII has finally become a man. It is now 21.
Yeah, yeah.
All grown up. Here's what it looks like now, you know, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I just feel like they've really missed out there, you know? Even though they're doing it in the episodic content, they could have even released episode one this year of it.
Yep, yep. Hell yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, sorry, not a big detailed answer to that one.
No, because really pretty much think... it's going to be probably a lot longer, which is a real shame.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of this episode, which means, of course, our hype train and lame train. And let's start with the hype train. All right. Well, mine, it's no surprise. Mine is the SNES Mini being announced. I'm extremely excited about this thing, which I can't wait. We talked about it earlier in the news, but I mean, this thing has 21 games, like, and I'll just smash them out here. Contra 3, Alien Wars, Donkey Kong Country, damn, Earthbound, which I never got to play, but I've heard about.
You never played Earthbound?
Yeah, no, I never got to play that one, so I can't wait to try that. Final Fantasy 3, F-Zero, Kirby Superstar and Kirby's Dream Course, both games I never played. See the value? You see in this? The Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past, Mega Man X, yes. Secret of Mana, also never played. Star Fox,
you never
Star
played Fox Secret 2. Of Mana?
Are you seeing the value to this to me right now? Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super Castlevania 4, also never played. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
What? I played, that's on there.
Yeah, and I played that for about an hour.
What? Oh my gosh, why am I even doing this podcast with you?
Super Mario World, Super Metroid, never played. Hold your punches.
Whoa.
Super Punch Out.
What?
And Yoshi's Island.
You never played Super Metroid?
And we're moving on.
Wait, I love Super Nintendo so much, but you never played Super Metroid, Secret of Mana, or Secret of Mana. Like, yeah, did you play Secret of Evermore?
No, I did not.
Oh, God.
Well, why do you think I pre-ordered this thing literally hours after it was announced?
You have so a crack excited. At me for not playing any of games that came out like a year ago. These games came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, I've just got busy.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. Oh, man, Super Metroid is so good.
Yeah, so that's my hype train for sure. And what's yours, good sir?
I'm excited for the next Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, because I just finished Uncharted series for the first time the other week.
Which doesn't seem so bad now, now that you've heard my list of games.
No, and also Naughty Dog have come out and said they've not finished with the Uncharted stories yet. So we might see more of these come out too, which is really cool.
I want to see Young Sully.
Young Sully would be really cool. But he'd just be walking around smoking cigars the whole time, because that's pretty much what he did, and driving planes.
But you want to know where he got his thieving skills. I mean,
that's true. You know? Yeah.
And I don't know. He seems like he'd be a bit of a ladies' man. I picture him as a bit of a adventuring James Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
In the very old cool. times.
So yeah, very true.
I'd play that. I'd even play like one based later. I don't know. Maybe hypothetically everyone dies and Sully is the last guy alive in his group of friends. And you play like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Like you're old
really,
Sully.
Really old. Yeah.
Okay.
Like one last job, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Lame train, sir.
Okay. My lame train is one that is actually worrying me. And everyone's been asking about how come the Switch hasn't revealed their virtual console plans yet? And they didn't release anything at E3. And if they don't release anything when they announce the new internet, you know, connectivity and all that kind of thing, I feel like they're not doing it on purpose to sell their minis.
Yeah, okay. And they've also made the minis a limited offer as well, that you can only get the SNES mini this year, is it?
Yeah, and that you can't get the NES Mini anymore, which sucks, because I didn't want it really, but now I do, so it can stand next to my Super NES Mini. But I can't do that unless I buy it for $600 on eBay.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean, that they're just withholding information to try and push another product?
Yeah, and like Virtual Console is just this thing that everyone expects from Nintendo, which is just so easy and awesome, and everyone loves it, and you build your collection, and you play it on your console, on your high-def TV, and you just collect, you know, everyone kind of assumed that there'd be NES, then Super NES, then 64 games, and maybe even GameCube, and then there's the DS, and there's just this awesome library, but they haven't released or announced anything, and I'm worried it's just so they can sell these minis.
You're probably right.
And I hate that, so that's my lame train.
Fair enough.
And your lame train, sir?
Hosts that won't do challenges on podcasts.
Wow.
No. Wow. No. All right. My lame train for this week is Activision re-releasing Modern Warfare as a standalone. So this game is several years old, and they're selling it for $70, which is a bit much, considering you could buy it, because they had it in the package with the last Call of Duty Infinite Warfare and for like a special edition, which was like $110 for like two games when it first released. But now they're selling this standalone for $70, and they're not including the $20 DLC for it as well.
Oh man.
So if you want the whole package, you've got to pay $90 Australian. Like, it's an old game now, Activision. Stop trying to milk people that buy your games, because it just annoys them.
Well, the annoying thing is that they buy it.
Like, release it for $40, and, you know, if they had gone, you know what, $40, so many people would have bought it.
Yeah.
So many people would have bought it, and I just feel like it's just going to turn a lot of people away, because if you don't buy the DLC, it pretty much puts a line down the middle of the community that does buy it, those that have the DLC and those that don't.
Yep, of course.
Why not just release the whole thing as one $40 package and go, hey, here you go, guys. You know, because they released the game with Infinite Warfare last year, and people were annoyed that you couldn't buy it on its own back then. So now it's almost a year later, and now they're releasing it on its own for still $70. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you look at like the Uncharted series, they released 3 Uncharted games for like $50.
Yeah.
You look at the Kingdom Hearts package I've got here, that's 4 games on there, and now I think that cost me like $60 or $70 for 4 massive games. This is for one game, $70, which, yeah, we're talking re-releases here, not, you know, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I can see him doing the same with Call of Duty 2, you know that? Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, yeah, I do see that.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yes, time will tell. But, all right. Well, thank you so much for checking out this episode of Game Train Podcast.
Thanks to everyone for listening again.
Next time, we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about Crash Bandicoot, the remake.
Which, funnily enough, is another re-release game, but this is 3 games for like $50.
Also, the gentleman at the gaming retailer that I went to today told me that it was their most pre-ordered game in the company's history. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty huge. Also, yeah. We're going to have our new segment as well, which is This Week in Gaming, plus our regular segments.
Lame Train and Hype Train, and our questions, and we don't really have much
else. And I'll have the latest on the Bloodborne Challenge, of course, and how my body's holding up underneath all the stresses of that game.
Oh, goodness. If he's not doing this from the bed.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.